You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, And the Word Was With God. And the Word Was With God. John chapter 1, verse 1, King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a verse! It gives insight, and it also leaves room for misinterpretation. As we see with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that in this Word, the Word was a God. They do not have the clear understanding that Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was with God, and Jesus Christ was God. Wow, guess what? Jesus Christ has in that aspect never changed. He still is God. Praise the Lord. When the Bible starts with the recognition of Jesus Christ, we find this also in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. In this, we see Jesus returning as the warrior king. Oh, how the people of Israel have been trying to place this on our Lord and Savior, the first time when he came to save us from eternal damnation, how he saved our souls. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 and verse 16, Amplified Bible. He is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood, and the title by which he is called is the Word of God. And on his garment, robe, and on his thigh, he has a name, title inscribed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now let us indeed go to the beginning and start from that point. Now that we have established that Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Amplified Bible. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, suitable, pleasant, and he approved it. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And God said, Let there be a firmament, the expanse of the sky, in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters below from the waters above. And God made the firmament, the expanse, and separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the firmament heavens. And there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heavens be collected into one place of standing, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the accumulated waters he called seas. And God saw that this was good, fitting, admirable, and he approved it. And God said, Let the earth put forth tender vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself, each according to its kind, upon the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which was their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, suitable, admirable, and he approved it. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs and tokens of God's provident care and to mark seasons, days, and years, God spoke. What did God speak? God spoke His word. His Spirit was hovering over the waters. Here we see our beloved Trinity, together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Then, after all of this, skipping forward many years, we see a struggling people in Egypt for 400 years. After God set them free from their captivity and took them out of exile on their way to the Promised Land, the people still only had the stories of their forefathers, and with that, a 400-year history of stories from Egypt, filled with idols, gods, and horror stories of oppression, pain, and suffering. While again in their disobedience to God, they doubted Him, and God gave them a punishment that prevented those who were set free from ever entering the Promised Land. Even so, God gave them a great gift. He gave them His word, His Torah, His commandments to live by. Some see these commandments and these laws as a burden, but they are not. They are a wonderful gift of the Lord, a blessing, a gift that gives guidance, a gift that gives health, a gift that gives wisdom. Moses received these commandments from God on Mount Sinai in what we now call Saudi Arabia. Many people do not notice it, but in most Bibles that have a map, on that map in the Sinai Peninsula between Egypt and Israel, the name of Mount Sinai often appears with a question mark. After much research, the most acceptable location of the real Mount Sinai can be found in Saudi Arabia, the mountain that the locals call the Mountain of Moses, Jabal al-Lahz. This is the place where you will find the scorched peak, where the mountain was inflamed with God's presence. The mountain has only one cave, the one in which Elijah was hiding after Queen Jezebel went after all the priests. It also has that enormous rock where Moses touched it with his staff, and the water flowed out for the people of Israel, a rock with clear water erosion in the middle of the desert. It also shows us the remnants of a great altar with Hebrew and Egyptian markings of different gods on it. Then still, this is all carefully protected behind fences and guards, not for any unauthorized eye to see, kept carefully behind chain-link fencing with armed guards. Still, any questions? We do have a documentary for everyone to watch if interested. And I do believe that here it happened. Here God gave His law to Moses. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 to 25, Amplified Bible. In the third month after the Israelites left the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, "Say this to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice in truth and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own peculiar possession and treasure from among and above all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, consecrated, set apart to the worship of God. These are the words you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses called for the elders of the people and told them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you and remain steadfast forever." Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go and sanctify the people, set them apart for God, today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready by the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai, in the cloud, in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people round about, saying, Take heed that you go not up into the mountain, or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch it, or the offender, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified them, set them apart for God. And they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, Be ready by the day after tomorrow. Do not go near a woman. The third morning there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people from the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, for the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like that of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. As the trumpet blast grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with a voice. The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. The Lord said to Moses, Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And also, let the priests who come near to the Lord sanctify, set apart, themselves for God, lest the Lord break forth against them. And Moses said to the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself charged us, saying, Set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it, set it apart for God. Then the Lord said to him, Go, get down, and you shall come up, you and Aaron with you. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. This is the first time that God gave his word to the people in writing. This is the day of Shavuot, which is celebrated by thousands across the globe as the giving of the Torah. Why is it celebrated that the Torah is given? According to the rabbis, it is this. The sages point out that we are constantly in the process of receiving the Torah, that we receive it every day, but it was first given at this time. Thus, it is the giving, not the receiving, that makes this holiday significant. Today is also another important day. It is Pentecost, the day celebrated as the time when the Holy Spirit came down upon people with the gifts and fruit of God Himself, the Holy Spirit so eagerly anticipated after the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. New International Version, 1984 edition. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 21. New International Version, 1984 edition. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Holy Spirit's gifts are poured out onto people on the day of Pentecost, and the word of God was given to all on this glorious day. On Shavuot, God gave his word to the people of Israel. This was the written word in the shape of the Ten Commandments, the beginning of the 5 books of Moses, the Torah. On Pentecost, God gave us his Holy Spirit to provide us with the explanation of this word of God and the spoken word of God, what is called the Rhema word of God, through his Holy Spirit. How awesome and how wonderful that the written and the spoken word of God come together on this one special and awesome day. The significance of the word of God remains as relevant now as it was when first revealed in the wilderness. Its power transcends historical settings and cultural contexts. It directs our hearts toward truth and aligns our intentions with divine purposes. Shavuot reminds us that we have been entrusted with a precious gift, the written word, which anchors our faith in timeless commandments and teachings. Pentecost reveals the continuing presence of God through the Holy Spirit, who illuminates Scripture and brings revelation that transforms hearts and lives. These two monumental moments, one celebrating the giving of the Torah and the other celebrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, demonstrate the fullness of God's plan. Scripture, coupled with the Spirit, ensures that our faith is grounded in sound doctrine while also flourishing with vibrant life and practice. May this inspire us to carry His word wherever we go, living it out with conviction, sharing it willingly, and watching as it produces transformation in every area it touches. Let us not be like those wandering in the desert, searching for the Word of God. Let us know this Word of God. Have it written on your heart. Have it in between your eyes. Or in other words, have it on your mind. Live it, breathe it, speak it. It is as with wearing a talit. It is on each side of you, surrounding north, east, south, and west. Wherever we go, let God go before us. let God be behind us, and let God remain where we have been, with those we have encountered. When you have heard it, you can share it. Why is it that when we hear the world's garbage, it is garbage in, garbage out? But when it is the healing, powerful, recovering, strengthening, and renewing Word of God, we carefully and secretly keep it to ourselves. Shavuot and Pentecost, it is a new start, a new beginning for all who believe. Healing Word in, healing Word out. Powerful Word in, powerful Word out. Recovering Word in, recovering Word out. Strengthening Word in, strengthening Word out. Renewing Word in, renewing Word out. God's Word in, God's Word out. Believe it, live it, share it. Grow, become strong, and more faithful each day. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, King James Version. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, King James Version. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen and amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.